Praise God forever. You know, as I've been meditating on the glory, God just keeps showing me new directions and new ways that it comes in. How many were here when we taught on the blessing? The blessing. Not a blessing, but the blessing. The blessing started where? Who can remember? Where was the blessing first spoken? The blessing. And it's the same blessing that God's still pronouncing today. Even earlier. Adam. God told Adam, be fruitful, multiply, have dominion in the earth. Remember? That's the blessing. That's the blessing. The plan of God is that the whole earth will become Eden-like. Now you remember Eden had to be cordoned off, flaming fire, flaming swords to keep people from getting into it. Why? Because the tree of life was in the middle of it. But God wanted all people to partake of the tree of life. How many of you have? Of course you have. You've already partaken of the tree of life, haven't you? God wants the whole earth to be like Eden. Now remember, we talked about this last week. Who is it that gets results in their life?
The doers.
The doers of the word. Not the hearers only, but hearers and doers. Getting the word in, you know, people say, I've got to read the whole Bible in a year. How many of you have ever done that? Read the whole Bible through in a year. It's worthy. Fine to do. But I want to tell you what. And you remember this if you don't remember anything else. God doesn't want you to read for speed. God didn't make you. Now, if you happen to be a speed reader, that's great. I don't happen to be. I'm a reader and a meditator. Yes. And if I want to get it, I've got to stop and... Carl Lockwood used to always say it this way. I've got to stop and mull it over. Did you know that mull it over is one of the best possible definitions of... Well, if not the best possible, it's certainly one element of meditation. Meditate is to mull it over. Now, the way you mull it over is extremely important. If you mull it over in your mind, that's one thing. And that's to a certain extent effective. I get some things that way. But when I start mulling it over with my mouth, that's the second, and this is the best possible. Mull it over by muttering. Mutter. Mutter to yourself. Speak to yourself. Talk to yourself. You know, we've always been taught that's what a crazy person does, right? It's talk to themselves. How many of you have been taught that crazy people talk to themselves? And that you really know you're crazy when you start answering yourself, right? But you know what? Talking and saying. Why? Because faith comes by hearing. See, you may think that you're hearing well just by using your mind, but if you speak it with your mouth, your ears hear, and there's even a different way that your ears hear. How many of you know that you hear yourself different than you sound when you use a tape recorder? You sound different in a tape recorder, don't you? Why? Because you've got inner ear too, and you're hearing through that inner ear, but that inner ear has a direct connection down into your heart. So say it, speak it. Hearers get it in, but then we've got to begin to do the word too. You won't get your problem solved just by hearing. You've got to, and this is what I said earlier about Torah. As I've decided to be Torah observant. Somebody said, are you under the law? You know, that's kind of a tricky placement. I'm not under the law in any bondage. I'm not under the law for salvation. But, you know, yes, if you think what submission means, to voluntarily arrange oneself under, then yes, very definitely, I'm under God's instructions. I certainly want to stay there, don't you? But I'm not under the law in the idea that if I don't do it, I'll go to hell. I'm going to heaven not because of the law, but because of Yeshua and His shed blood. So you need to get that. So say it with me again today. I'm a doer. Not just a confessor. I confess and I do. Amen. Turn to Psalm chapter 8, if you would please. Psalm 8. I want to be one that gets results. Doers get results, amen? Doers get the results in their life. Doers get miracles in their life. Doers get to walk in love. Doers get to recognize and be party to the supply of God, because God tells us that if we give, it'll be given. So I'm a doer of the word. Psalm chapter 8, we're going to read through about six verses of it, but I'm going to kind of take it apart as we go. It says to the chief musician upon Gittith. Gittith is a harp. That's what he's saying to the musician that plays the harp. A psalm of David. Here it starts. O Yahweh, our Adonai, or O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name. Say excellent.
Excellent.
How excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Where are God's glories? Where did he set them? Above the heavens. Above the heavens. You remember reading about the pillar of a cloud and the pillar of fire. You remember reading about that. You remember reading that on the day that the children of Israel came before Mount Sinai, that there were lightnings and thunders, and the whole mount was like it was on fire, and there was smoke going up like out of a furnace. I mean, fire is always in this, and it's in the heavens. Also, God's glory comes to the earth. We remember about the burning bush, don't we? The burning bush. What was in that burning bush? What? What was in it? God's presence, or the glory of God. The presence of God. When you talk about manifested presence, we're speaking of His glory, aren't we? And so that bush was burning, but it didn't get burned up. Now it's important that you begin to understand this about the light of God. It's able to actually enter in, and someone said the other day, and I'd never thought about it, if you knew where to look, you'd probably still find that bush alive today. Did you ever think of that? Because the glory of God was in that bush. Think of that. It just, it probably just translated it into a permanent fixture here on this earth. That maybe didn't, but, think about what I'm saying, the power of God. We also talk about the glory as the face of God. In Ezekiel 1:27, Ezekiel, the prophet, says, "And I saw as the color of amber." Now I want you to get this picture. He said, "I saw as the color of amber." What color is amber? It's that middle light on the signals that mean go very fast, right? Isn't that the one? Amber, the amber light. Amber is the color of what?
Fire.
Fire. Fire is amber colored. That's what he's seeing. I want you to understand this. He said, "I saw as the color of amber, as the appearance of..." Not that it was fire, but the appearance of fire round about within it. "From the appearance of his loins even upward, and from the appearance of his loins even downward, I saw as it were the appearance of fire, and it had brightness round about." Now, brightness, how many know that there's different magnitudes of brightness? What do you suppose he's talking about here? Bright! Bright! And this is what he said. What is Ezekiel seeing here? He's seeing the throne of God. We talked about the rainbow of colors. It's right in the same section where it talks about around the throne was a rainbow of color. Because God is light. And in light is every possible frequency of color. Think of that. And he said, "When I saw God..." Now what did he see? Well, he saw a man's shape, didn't he? Or the shape that had loins upward, loins downward. And all around was this amber, and all around was this brightness, and it was like, not fire, but it was like fire. It looked like fire. Now, what could be like that you could imagine if you would think about it? Now, some of you are given to sci-fi movies. Any of you given to sci-fi movies? Any of you ever watch any of those sci-fi movies? They're kind of fun. Sometimes I get a kick out of science fiction. You got to keep your head on straight when you watch it, because we don't believe it. But boy, they do some really neat things with special effects on it, Have you ever seen when the brightness comes on, there's a frequency of sound that starts, all kinds of
weird thing.
You've heard that, haven't you? You ever seen one of those, Bethany? Yeah, you have. See, she's seen it. Yeah, there's just all kinds of you know, powerful sounds. Well, I believe that's the kind of thing this was. And this light was like lightnings emanating out every place. This is God. He saw God. That's what he saw. And you know, if you read Scripture, you find out that right in the first couple of verses, God said, "Or." That's light. Or. Or. All right, what's going on? Or. I spoke and something happened. But God said, he didn't say light be. Did you know that? He didn't. He didn't say let there be light. God called. I want you to think about this. God called. God called. Light! Where did it come from? From him. Came right out of him. Light! And that, if you learn this, yeah, give me those sounds. I'll give you a microphone and you can sit there and do the sound effects for me, Kimber. Yeah. You know, we learned as we were talking about our faith and confession how important it is that you call for what you want. Don't be calling those things which are. That's what most people do. Most people will spend most of their time talking about their problems, their difficulties. They're in that old Negro spiritual song, "Nobody Knows the Trouble I've Seen." Right? They talk about that all the time, and then they wonder why that's all they got's trouble. Doom, despair, and agony on me, deep down depression. Right? That's the way people talk. But God doesn't talk that way. God calls things which be not as though they were. Light! There's light. Verse 4 says, "And God saw the light that it was good." Say good. Amen. Hebrew for that, so you get this, is tov. T-O-V. Tov. That's good. God saw the light, or tov. And God said, "You know what? It's good. I'm going to separate light from darkness. They'll never mingle. They can't mingle." And you know what? Today, it's true. That even in the physical light and darkness, if there's just a little bit of light in darkness, it's no longer dark. It may be dim, but it's no longer dark. Amen? And that's what God's doing. God separated light from darkness. Let's go on with the psalm now. I wanted you to see this glory picture of God. Glory. And His glory is set, He set it in the heavens. The psalmist is getting this. He says, "Out of the mouths," verse 2, "out of the mouths of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger." When I consider the heavens, where did God set His glory? In the heavens, the Shamayim. Shamayim is heavens. "The work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained." Did you hear what he said? He said, "The work of your fingers." When God makes things like that, it doesn't take much. Just His fingers. When you do finger work, you know, delicate stuff, God does that kind of stuff, moon and stars, with His fingers. He speaks them into being. He sets them where He wants them. He gives them each their particular orbit and their place to sit. He says, "When I consider the heavens and the work of thy fingers," when I'm just considering, consider means to do more than just, "Oh yeah, there's there, yeah, okay." No, it means to stop and consider. God put this there. God did this. God put this all here, and He did it so easily. He did it like with the work of His fingers and the moon and the stars which thou art ordained. He said, "When I'm doing that, then I say, what is man?" You ever think this? "What is man that thou art mindful of him?" How many remember the old gospel song, "How big is God? How big and wide His vast domain?" To try to tell my words could only start. He's big enough to rule the mighty universe, but He's small enough to live in my heart. Amen? What is man that thou art mindful of him? Why does God care about a mere man? And not only does you say a man, I mean, it's not just like you're a man But it's like there are 6 billion of us. 6 billion plus. And God is mindful of every one. He calls each one of them by name. Did you know that? God knows every pagan. He knows every person on this earth. Knows them by name and loves them. And loves them. God is mindful of him and the Son of Man that thou visitest him. For thou hast made him. Now if you've got a King James Bible, you're going to get the wrong word here. And it's because translators just didn't want to say it like it was. Translators didn't want to say it. But it says, thou hast made him a little lower than the Elohim. That's the word that's there. The word in Hebrew for angel is malach. Malach. But the word for God is Elohim. And this says, you've made him lower than God. Is that right? That's what he did. He made us a little lower than God. By the way, let me just tell you about the angels. They're not on the same level you are. Did you know that? And I'm not saying this to give you some kind of a head trip that you're, but you know, the Bible tells us that if you do the right words, you can command angels. The Bible says that angels hearken unto the voice of his word. So if your angel's not working for you, guess what? You must be saying the wrong words. That's right. You need to get his words in your mouth and the angels will work for you. So you're not lower than the angels. You're made lower than God. You're made lower than God. And it says, this is man now. You made him a little lower than God and you have crowned him. Say crowned. What does that mean now, crowned? I think we need to get this down because crowned is always indicative of something, you know, isn't it? This is the crown, right, up here, the crown. But it means more. The crown means more than just a cap, right? Crown's not just a golden pointy cap, right? What is a crown? It's a symbol, isn't it? Of what? Authority. It's a symbol of authority. You have crowned. Literally, the word, again in the Hebrew, means encircled as much as crowned. It's used for crown, but it also means to encircle, to cover. What did God do with Adam in the Garden of Eden? I want you to think about him. It says, you've crowned him with glory and honor. Did you know Adam's body was made before Adam was anything? God fashioned him a body. What does the Bible say about it? Man was made from what? God didn't just speak man. He made man from the dust of the earth. He made him in the dust of the earth. So he's got a body. Here's Adam. Adam's there before God. God's laid him out there. Adam's beautiful. He looks good. God's taken the dust of the earth and made flesh and put blood in it. But it's still just laying there. I believe when God breathed, that breath is ruach in Hebrew. Ruach is breath, but ruach is also spirit in Hebrew. When God breathed into him, God spoke. I don't think he just went, I think he spoke into him. I think he spoke. Be fruitful. Multiply. I think the first thing that happened as Adam was coming into consciousness, he's hearing this blessing spoken over him. Be fruitful. Breathing into him the breath of life. And that breath of life came right directly from this picture of God that we have in Ezekiel 1:27, where it said there was the appearance of fire. From his loins upward and from his loins downward. Here's God doing this, speaking into Adam. It said he crowned him with glory. Well, where did Adam's life come from? From glory, didn't it? Came right out of the glory of God. Adam's laying there, but all of a sudden, You know, I don't know whether he sat up or what he did. Maybe he just stood immediately up. Maybe it was the opposite of being slain under the power. Maybe he just like that, you know. I don't know. But all of a sudden, he's got a consciousness, and that consciousness is full because he didn't make a caveman. He made a perfect man in his own likeness and image. The breath of life is in him. And Adam's standing there, and all of a sudden, he's got... What's the sound effect sound like when the glory of God's going? It's all around him. And this ember is encircling him. And he's covered with this. Oh, man. This is powerful. You see that? In fact, that glory to man is more than just a biological life connection. It is the glory connection. You see that? And what's it like? It's like an umbilical cord from God to man. And God's just filling man up with... He's just a little bit lower than God. You'll see later why he's a little lower is because... Well, you see it right now. Because he hadn't yet partaken of the tree of life. He's a little lower. You know, if you listen to this long enough, you might find a place to find exception, because God really intended to make man just like him so that he could be on the same level with him. Just as he did Yeshua, and yet the Bible says, Yeshua being one with God, thought it not something to be tightly grasped. The Bible indicates that he always still gives honor and glory to the Father, doesn't he? Just like we will. But he didn't really make us to be on a low level. And that's what the psalmist is marveling at here. What is man that you're mindful of him? I've seen him. I've seen him walking around. Well, this is after the fall, right? We all know about the fall. Now, God looked at Adam, and by the way, every day that Adam had made things, what did he do at the end of the day? God looked at the day's creation, and he said, Tov! 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 Now he's got man. He's standing up and he's filled with the glory of God, and this is moving around him. And I mean to tell you, you know, it's just like a continual light show. That same rainbows around man. But God looks at him and says, Lo Tov. Lo means no. It's not good. What did he say? It's not good that there only be one of these. It's not good that man should be alone. So what did God do? What did he do? He solved the problem immediately. He made a helpmeet. How did he do it? Out of Adam. That's right. Out of Adam. What did he take out of Adam? A what? A rib. Now let me tell you something about the rib in the Hebrew. The rib really doesn't talk about rib. That's the way we've been able to translate it, because people just didn't have an understanding of where else to go with it. But the rib really is probably better the cellular, down to the cellular level. God made a clone of Adam. But he did one further thing when he cloned him. What did he do? He took this cellular level of Adam, and it said he builded a woman in the King James. I always kind of like builded, because we say a woman is built, right? Right? He builded a woman. But he took this cellular level, but remember now, Adam was as much male as he was female when he was created. Did you know that? Yeah, he was. Because God is as much male as he is female. We call him our Father because that takes precedence. But, you know, I want to tell you where the womb love came from that a woman has for her child. Came right out of God. Came right out of God. And this umbilical cord, this life-giving connection that we have with God is glory. Keeps us to God, and that was planned to be continuous. It wasn't something you could see exactly, but it was there. A continual flow of life and sustenance. Not only that, but the very mind of God. Do you know Adam didn't have a simple mind? I mean, I know what he did makes you think he was simple-minded, but he wasn't simple-minded. Who did God put in charge of the earth? Have dominion in it. Subdue it. Multiply in it. Take this garden and spread it out everywhere. That's what God did. That's the glory working in him. That's that blessing that God gave him. So God separates out and makes Hava. That's Eve. Hava. Hava. Adam Hava. Now remember, Adam is spoken of quite often as Adam is male and female, and it's the whole race, isn't it? Well, Hava was that part taken out that God took the feminine gender and put into Hava and left the masculine in Adam. Therefore, they were able to physically propagate. So not only was God saying it's not good for him to be alone, and he made Eve, but it's not good for them to be alone because now they will fill the earth. They will fill. Everything went pretty good for a while, didn't it? Remember how the Bible says that man walked in the garden? For some reason, again, the translator said in the cool of the day. You've read that, haven't you? That Adam walked with God in the cool of the day. Word again is not cool, it's ruach. Adam walked with God in the Spirit. He was in the Spirit. He walked with him in the Spirit. I guess probably because it could also mean breath or breeze or wind, that they think of that being a cooling thing. But really, it was in the Spirit that Adam walked with God. He walked with him. He walked with him. He was able to walk with him. And the enemy was one of the beasts of the field that had been created earlier. Remember, the serpent had been created early. The enemy, Hasatan, which was an archangel, that remember now, he was lower than man. Right? But he came into a serpent in the garden and was able to, he didn't ever say, why don't you sin? He just put a little doubt in. Remember what he said? Has God said? And I want you to know this is the way sin works. Sin works with that little doubt, a seed of doubt. That if it's allowed to, and see, you remember what we talked about, meditating, mulling it over? If you continue to mull that seed over, it will also produce, and it began to produce. Until they disobeyed, and when they did, I wish you could see the picture that I've begun to see about this. Because you remember while they're walking in the Spirit and the glory is over them, they can hardly see one another for the glory of God that's surrounding them all the time, and yet, when they sinned, that cord from God, what did he say? The day that you eat thereof, you shall surely die. Not only did it pull away from God, it hooked up with Hasatan, with the devil. Now, what's in the devil? No good thing, right? No good thing. In fact, I want to tell you, because of what he had done, he was totally empty. He had nothing. He had the power of deception. Totally empty. He pulled this umbilical cord of life, the glory connection of man, and immediately began to suck all of that out of man, everything that God had put into him. Now, why do I say that? Why do I say that? Listen to this, Luke 4:6. The devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them. Who is he talking to? To Jesus. Remember when Jesus was being tempted? It said, the devil said to him, remember he took him up into a high place and let him see all the kingdoms of the earth and the glory of them. He took him up in that place and he said, all this power will I give thee and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me. Who delivered it unto him? Who? Adam. God didn't take it away from Adam and give it to him. It began to be sucked out, and so the treason that Adam and Eve committed against God gave them a new Lord. And no matter how Adam would try to pull away from that, he couldn't. He could not pull it back. He couldn't get it back. This glory, this dominion that he had in the earth had now been delivered over unto Hasatan, the devil. And he says, and to whomsoever I will give it. Remember, that's how he was trying to tempt Jesus to bow down and worship him. What did Jesus say to him? It is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only, say only, shall you serve. Now that left us in a mess, didn't it? That Adam left us in a mess. Did you ever stop and think if you'd have been Adam that you probably would have left us in a mess too? We would have probably done it too, wouldn't we? Then came Mashiach Yeshua, Christ Jesus. He came to the earth. The Bible said the Word was in the beginning with God. And that Word, that same Word that was in the beginning with God, that we beheld His glory full of grace and truth. Remember that in John 1:14? And we beheld His glory full of grace and truth. And Yeshua came and He took back the umbilical cord. He broke it from Satan. How did He do it? With His blood. Forgiveness of sins came through the blood of Yeshua. He died on the cross and He took it all back. 1 Corinthians 2:6, howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. Who do you suppose the princes of this world that come to naught are? Who's that talking about? That's right, Satan and his angels. A third of the angels that went after Lucifer when he fell. It says, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect or mature, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom. Hidden wisdom is that plans and purposes of God. We're speaking those which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Now here's the verse that I want you to get in this. Verse 8. Verse 8 says, 1 Corinthians 2:8, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Do you see what they did? You know, there was more going on here than you can see. But Satan, you remember, had been trying to kill way back. He tried to kill way, way back. He was killing babies. Because why? I think he thought Abel was the one that was going to stomp on his head. Remember he said the seed of the woman will step on the head of the seed of the serpent. You'll bruise his heel, but he'll crush your head. So I believe that when Cain killed Abel, he did it because Satan put into his heart to get rid of this baby. Get rid of this baby. And of course we know that, you know, when Jesus was born, Herod tried to do it again. But this happened more than one time in Egypt. They wanted to throw all the baby boys in the river. I believe the devil again thought must be a Messiah there. He missed Moses, didn't he? God made sure he missed Moses. Well, here's the reason. This is, if they'd have known what was going on, they would never have crucified. But you see, God led him into a trap. He'd been trying to kill him all this time, trying to kill him all this time, trying to kill him all this time. Then suddenly, one day, here he is right out in the open doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. For God was with him. For this cause was the Son of God manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. And here he is. Jesus is right out there. And the devil comes along and says, well, there he is. This is the one. Takes him up on the mountain and shows him all the kingdoms of the earth. And he says, I'll trick him. Yeshua said, no. I recognize the wrong valence. There's a negative force in you, not a positive force. I'll never worship you because I worship God alone. Said, I'll not listen to you. I'll not turn bread or stones into bread because I live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. He said, no. You're not going to trick me by turning the word around and telling me that the angels have charge over me because the word says I'm not to tempt God. Remember? All of these temptations. Now, some people say Jesus had three temptations. I want you to know those were the three biggies. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. That's what they are. You read about those in 1 John. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Think about how they went on. You can see them right there in the temptations. But he was tempted every day, just like we are. The Bible said, in every point like as we, and yet without sin. Every time a Pharisee came up to him and goaded him, don't you know the devil was in that trying to tempt him? And clear up to the Garden of Gethsemane. He's tempting him, trying to get him to back out, trying to get him to call 10,000 angels. Stop this thing. Why? Well, he's got him now, see? He got him where he wants him. And what he wants to do is put him on the cross. He wants to kill him, crucify him, do away with this Messiah. But had he known what that meant, he wouldn't have done it because by doing it, the glory connection was restored. Now, I want you to know I'm talking just as powerful as the Garden of Eden. When Jesus did what he did, he restored to man authority for Eden glory. It's restored to us. We know that the Scripture says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, we know this, most of us can quote this, but most of us don't even think that we're supposed to live out the full implications of it. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new, say new, a new creature. Old things are passed away. What old things? That old mind, that old attitude, those old ways of doing things. All of those old things are passed away. And everything is become what? New. What's new? Well, actually, it's new that we're going back to the ancient ways, going back to what God said in the beginning. What he said, you're gonna subdue the earth. You're gonna have dominion in it. You're gonna multiply in it. You're gonna spread the blessing wherever you go. That's what God was expecting of us. It says that all things are of God, verse 18. All things are of God who hath reconciled. What does reconciled mean? Restored? I kind of saw reconnected. The umbilical cord was broken off of Satan, hooked back onto God, back onto the glory. And everyone that will receive it, it's there. That glory connection's on you today. You're already connected to God. You know what? You have to be, or God couldn't have said things like, you lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Well, what good would that do if I didn't have a source of glory someplace? That's right. Victory. Christ in me. The hope of glory. Hope doesn't mean I hope so someday. It means the blueprint of. The plan of. It's already in you. But what we do, we've still got so much mind going on, natural mind. We do things like I did. I never forget the first time I laid hands on some guy. I said, now, I just want to make it real clear to you, I'm nothing. I'm nothing at all. You know, I'm gonna pray for you and put my hands right, but I'm nothing. I just want you to know. Well, you see what that is? That's a false humility, because in me is the glory of God. Now you gotta be careful how you talk to people, by the way. We don't want them thinking that we're saying we are God. But you know what? There's more of God in us than most people realize. He said, lay hands. Well, if I'm connected the way I believe I am, then when I lay hands on people, man, if they'll get out of the way, they'll receive it. Now, that's a fact. You know that. Everybody that Jesus laid hands on didn't get healed. But everybody that came to him for healing, he healed everyone. But the Bible says when he went into his own hometown, he did no mighty work there, save only he healed a few sick folk. One man that I was listening to said the Lord was talking to him one time, and he said he meant that he healed only a few people that had like little minor ailments, like colds and stuff like that. That's all he could do there. Why? He said the Bible says he marveled because of their unbelief. Because of their unbelief. So you see, not only is the lifeline restored to us from God to us, but it's also every place you go. That lifeline's there. And God has ordained that men will come to him by the foolishness of... How are men saved? By the foolishness of preaching. That's what the scripture says. God has ordained that men would come to him through the foolishness of our telling the story. Talking to people. That lifeline's in us. So the words that I speak have power. When I speak to people, God's words come through me. Never forget one time, and this was the first time I've ever really experienced it. I had been in a church service, and there was this young man there that night that had been in the service, and along about the time of the invitation, he bolted and hit the door and left. It was, probably maybe 150 people there, but this kid left. And we had an altar service that night, and I remember being around the altar and praying. A lot of people were kneeling at the altar and praying, and suddenly this young man came back in the back door, and he came to the front. I can't remember all of it. This has been over 40 years ago, but he came back in, and he said, man, he said, I had to get out of here when that invitation was going on, but he said, every step I took away from this place, he said, it just got worse and worse and worse, and the draw got stronger and stronger and stronger, and said, I was just about a block from home, and he said, I turned around, and I ran all the way back here to the church. And he said, I've got to get right with God. And he came up, and while I was praying with him, all of a sudden, God just spoke to me, and he says, tell him not to remember the past. Tell him not to remember what has gone on before. And I didn't know why, but it was strong enough that I did it. And by the way, God works with you that way. You know, he'll make it strong as you need it. If you'll just listen. If you'll just listen. But it was such a strong impression, I spoke it. And he looked at me and he said, wow. He said, boy, I was really listening to something just before you said that. He was remembering something he had done to his brother. And how he had really wronged him badly, you know. The devil was trying to tell him, you're so bad you can't get back in. There's no way for you to get in. But you see, that's that glory connection. That's what a word of knowledge is. Did you ever think of that? A word of knowledge is a glory connection. It's a word that you speak that God says, say this word. It'll help. Victory. That's a word of knowledge. You see, to you it was one word. But one word, think of one word that God says. It could part the Red Sea. One word. We talked about it in Exodus 19, 18 and 19, how Mount Sinai was altogether on a smoke because the Lord descended on it in fire, and the smoke thereof ascended greatly as the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mount quaked greatly. And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder, Moses spake, and God answered him by a voice. Now that was the manifestation of glory. We're counting the Omer right now. Counting the Omer. Today is day 29. Counting the Omer. See, the idea is you're supposed to get more and more excited as you get toward the 50th day. More and more excited. It was a manifestation. This is what happened on that day. On that 50th day. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine looking out here today and looking over at one of these mountains, Shadow Mountain, and all of a sudden you just see smoke coming off of it and these bolts of lightning coming around and thunder. The Bible says, kolot. Kolot also means voices. In Revelation, when it talks about it, it says voices. voices when the glory of God is manifested. I wonder what those voices are. You suppose maybe they're the voices of the saints that have gone before, given praise? The voices of the angels and the archangels, given praise? I don't know. But the trumpets begin to sound. And you know what a shofar can sound. You know how it can pierce? But it just kept getting louder and louder and louder, and the people trembled. We're counting the day. We're counting the days. And the children of Israel have been doing this since it happened, counting the days from Passover until Shavuot, Pentecost. And then in Acts 2:1, they've been counting the days. Jesus has now been crucified. Jesus has restored to us the glory connection. But God says, there's just a step further I want to take you in this thing. Because you've been defiled by sinfulness. You've been born again, but I need to open that channel up a little wider. And so they've been doing this for years. They've been counting and they've been waiting. And they've been waiting for Pentecost to come. And Jesus has now been received back into heaven. He said, but you tarry in Jerusalem. You wait in Jerusalem because I'm going to send the promise of the Father upon you. And you shall receive dunamis in the Greek. You shall receive power when the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Acts 2 verse 1 says, and when the day of Pentecost, Shavuot, was fully come. What it means was it wasn't the eve of, but it was fully come. It was in daylight hours. When it was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And I like this word. I just like this word. It says, and suddenly, there came a sound from heaven. Remember the glory of God on the mount? Sound from heaven. Where God said His glory? In the heavens, above the heavens, in Shamayim. There came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. Was it a rushing mighty wind? No. It was a sound. By the way, who could hear it? Was it just people that were weighted together in one accord hearing it? Well, you find out later, no, it was a lot of people were hearing this rushing, mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. Some people think that instead of them being in the same upper room that many people portray this as being, that they literally were in one of the rooms of the temple. But it filled all of the house where they were sitting. I want you to think about this. This thing's got to be noisy, you know, rushing, mighty. But it's not a wind, it just sounds like a wind. Just like it wasn't fire, it just looked like fire. Filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared. So first they've been hearing. And then all of a sudden there's an appearance. An appearance. And it says, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire. Somebody describe them a little more for me. What would cloven tongues like as a fire look like? Flames. Flames. And you could see them splitting, right? The splitting. Could you see the same thing maybe that we saw on Adam when God connected to him in the first place? That same, it said you've crowned him. You've encircled him with glory. You've encircled him with glory. It says if this began to happen. You know how, have any of you ever seen that supposedly famous art piece that shows the people in the upper chamber receiving the Holy Spirit, and they show this little picture and they got these little big flames on their head? Everyone's got a little big flame. They look like a human candle with its wick, just got this little. That's not what it was. That's not what it was. That's right. It was encircling them. Same thing. Power. Oh, listen, this was something to behold. But it wasn't fire. It just had that same thing. It looked like fire, the appearance of fire. And it sat upon or crowned or encircled each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Man, I'll tell you what. We get this as kind of a little hidden thing, but you see, the Bible says when this was noised abroad, what was noise? A rushing mighty wind got people running. What's going on over there? They began to come. How many came? This wasn't just from a couple people going out and say, come and see. This, I mean, 3,000 people came. And by the time they get there, these people are so covered with the glory of God and so unused to it that they said, man, they look drunk to me. Peter said, they're not drunk. It's only 9. We even hold back a little bit, right? It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. He said, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. This is that. Put up Ezekiel 36, verse 27. See, this is the promise of Torah, really, to us. Ezekiel 36, verse 27 says, and I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. I will put my spirit within you. Well, that happened originally at the new birth, when people were born again. It happened when Jesus came into that room that they were meeting for fear of the Jews, and he said, don't be afraid. Remember, he walked right in and they said, how'd you get in here? The door's locked. Remember that? And he's standing right in the midst of them. And what does the Bible say? He breathed on them. He did what? He breathed on them. Ruach. The Spirit of God. He said, receive. Receive the Holy Spirit. And that came in to them right then. That was the new birth. They were born again. But God had a step more, didn't He? When He suddenly, see, they had the Holy Spirit on inside of them, but now He's got the Holy Spirit encircling them. When you become empowered with God, listen, that's no little thing. We've made it so little anymore. We haven't expected anything to happen when we get filled with the Spirit. In fact, many people sit in Pentecostal, charismatic churches and don't even get filled. And I don't believe they see the particular benefit. But I'm telling you, there's a benefit. I'm telling you, there's a time that all of us need to move into the depth, because it's the fullness of that glory connection again. I want more. I want more. I want it like it's always been. I want it that, you see, this is not something new. This has been ours since it happened. Do you understand what I'm saying? We just haven't walked into the fullness of it yet. We haven't received the revelation of it yet to its fullness. But I tell you what, I'm getting it. I'm getting it more and more all the time. I'm coming to the place boldness is going to be easy, because, man, I tell you what, when you believe this, you can't help but be bold about it. Do you understand what I'm saying? When you believe this, you know, nobody's going to have to tell you to shout. You're going to be shouting. When you really come to the place where this is yours, and you know it's yours. See, the Bible says legally it's already that authority that we have. It's ours. What are we waiting on? It's not God. It's not God. He's waiting on us to believe. He's waiting on us to become doers of the Word and not hearers only. The glory's been ours and is presently available at just awaiting manifestation. Romans 8:19 says, for the earnest expectation of the creature, and this really should be creation, waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. You see, creation got messed up when Adam and Eve sinned. It went under a time of curse, but creation's waiting. Creation knows that when the sons of God, who's that?
Us.
Who?
Us.
That's us. Praise God, that's every one of us. Every person born again, filled with the Spirit of God, that'll trust and believe God. That's us. And it's waiting for the, not just for us to be on earth, but for us to be manifested in that glory connection. I believe it's time. I believe it's time. We've been waiting, and God says it's not time to wait. 2 Corinthians 4:3 says, "But if our gospel be hid, it's hid from them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." Who is that talking about? Who? Okay, talking about Satan. The God of this world is Satan. How did he become the God of this world? Adam gave it to him, didn't he? Adam was the God of this world. When God put him here with his glory connection, Adam was the God of this world. But when he transferred allegiance to Satan, Satan became the God of this world. And he's blinded the minds of them which believe not. Now, who's that talking about? Who are those that believe not? Who?
The lost.
All right, the lost, obviously, right? The lost, okay? We all agree with that. Everybody knows that's talking about the lost, right? I want to just throw another thing out. Could it be talking about some that aren't lost, who don't believe the whole Word of God, who don't believe what God said about them? How many of you believe that the works that I do, shall you do also? These works and greater works shall you do, because I go to my Father. You believe that? Did you know there's a lot of the world that thinks that's passed away? Did you know that we just recently have you know, prayed for someone that, you know, I knew God wanted to heal them. But the people that were involved told us, no, that's passed away. So I finally had to say this to them. I said, well, you tell me, because they wanted prayer. They wanted us to pray. I said, well, I'll tell you, I'm going to have to ask you then, how do you want me to pray? Because I, you know, I'm not going to pray out of agreement with you. Did you know that doesn't work most of the time? Did you know that's the reason that a lot of times when we pray for people, they go ahead and die anyhow? Because they really aren't believing it. They really aren't trusting for it. But if they'll believe, they'll get it. But there's a lot of the church world that thinks that most of the power of God is gone. Do you know I've even heard this, that we used to need healing, but now we don't need healing because we have doctors? Have you ever heard anything that stupid? That's ignorance gone to seed, isn't it? As Brother Hagin used to say, I'd rather listen to a braying donkey in a tin barn at midnight than to listen to something like that. That's just ridiculous. But people talk like that. People say, that which is perfect has come, then that which is part will be done away. But they don't read it all because it says that knowledge is part of that. Knowledge hadn't been done away. Wisdom hadn't been done away. Neither has the power of God been done away. And that which is perfect has not yet come on this earth completely, has it? No. There's still, we're waiting for that. Those that just adhere to religion and not the truth, even born-again people, a lot of born-again people that don't really believe what the Word of God says. And I'll tell you what, you get them into your church. Listen to me now. You get them into the middle of your congregation, and they'll drag the whole congregation back with that kind of unbelief. Did you know that? They'll hold back. So why do we do what we do? Because faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. You believe more in the glory of God now than you used to, I guarantee it. You believe more in the power of God now than you used to, I guarantee it. I believe the Holy Spirit's talking to some of you today and saying, you know, I need to move into everything God has for me. I've been satisfied just to stay back because I didn't think maybe I was good enough to receive the fullness. But I'm going to tell you something. You don't want to be one of those that the devil's blinded your mind. That's what that is. That's a blinded mind. You don't want to be one of those that says, well, the Bible says that not all will speak with tongues. Does it say that, by the way?
No.
Will all, it says, will all speak with tongues? Let me tell you something. in the ministry of speaking in tongues in public with the interpretation, maybe all will not have that as a gift. But may all speak with tongues as was spoken of in Acts chapter 2? Yes. See, the thing that people do in 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14, 12 and 14 primarily, they don't recognize that Paul is giving instructions for the congregational meetings when he's talking about speaking in tongues all at once. He's not against speaking in tongues. He said, forget not, forbid not. Forbid not to speak with tongues and to prophesy. Now I'm telling you that God's dealing with people. Don't be one of those that lets the enemy, the devil, the god of this world, blind the minds of those that believe not. Don't be an unbeliever in any way. The revelation's already ours. You need to step out. 2 Corinthians 4:6, for God who commanded the light. Listen now. We're summing it up. For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts. You've already got that light in here. Listen, you've already got it. If you've been born again, the light's in there. The light's in there. God who commanded the light. Remember we talked about it this morning. Light! God commanded it to shine out of darkness. Hath shined. That's part of the glory, isn't it? Glory's light. To give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. What is He going to give us? When He shined in our hearts, what does He give us?
Knowledge.
What?
Knowledge.
That's interesting. What is knowledge? See, there's a lot of words for knowledge, even in the Greek, that this came out of. Did you know that? This is gnosko. And it, what is it? Go ahead. Well, yeah. An agnostic would be one that does not know, or that's literally what that means.
Huh? I don't know. Go ahead.
Well, gnostic means knowledge or know. Gnosis means knowledge. Gnosko means a working knowledge. A working knowledge. Someone was telling it kind of like this. I know that if I go down to DIA, buy a ticket, and get on a plane, that plane flies, right? But there's a guy that sits up front in that plane. Y'all know about him? Pontius Pilate? No, that's another joke. There's a pilot that sits up front, right? And the pilot sits up there, what does he have? He has a working knowledge of how that plane flies, doesn't he? He knows what to do to make it fly. I just get on and enjoy the trip. But he has a working knowledge. I think the church needs a working knowledge of the glory of God. I think we need to learn how to work in it. Don't you think? I believe we need to begin to do what needs to be done so that the knowledge that's in us allows this glory to show forth. To show forth. Here's the problem. It's a problem, and yet it's all right for right now. It says, verse 7, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels. What do you got? I got the glory of God on the inside of me. You know, this explains something to me, though. Because when I'm preaching, teaching, I can go out. I remember one night down in Grenada, I preached, and I mean to tell you, it was so hot. That literally, by the time I finished preaching and ministering to the sick down there, I was just drenched. Totally drenched. And yet, still full of vigor. You know? But man, when that service was over, my earthen vessel suddenly knew that it needed to lay down. You know? It just had sapped me of all natural strength. We have this in an earthen vessel. It's a treasure. Say treasure. What you have on the inside of you, Matt, what you've got on the inside of you is treasure. I mean, it's amazing what's in you. I'm telling you this because I know you haven't been at this a long time, but it's a treasure. It's so mighty and powerful that as you begin to just let that go in you and begin to nurture it and feed it on the things of God, and whenever you find God saying something to you, that you just step out and do it. You just step out and do it. By the way, this psalm we read today talked about how we get things from God. We get things from God just through relationship. You know, I make this mention because there used to be a group of people around that they thought they were supposed to hear from God, and so they would pray. Then they'd get their pencil out. And they call this automatic writing. Did any of you ever hear about it? I find that any time I try to just open myself up to the voice of God that way, there's a whole lot of voices start talking. But when I just by relationship, just love on God and praise Him and worship Him, and all of a sudden, guidance will come. And I'll be talking to Him one way, and I remember one time in particular, we wanted to hear from God about buying a new car. We just wanted to hear from Him. And so we prayed about it. And boy, I'll tell you what, God spoke through that dealer. Only one God. You know what I'm saying? We had our spirits programmed so much. We wanted this new car that this dealer agreed not just to give us a good price and good terms and everything we wanted. He agreed to actually take seats out of another car, because we like the seats in the other car, and actually replace the interior on that vehicle. And so we drove that car, and we thought, you know, boy, this is just a deal. Man, this is a deal. This is something we just, wow. So we drove, and we drove it most of the day he wanted us to, you know. And we brought going back that night, and he said, just come back, and we'll sign the deal when you get back. Of course, he was speaking positively, you know. And on the way back, the Holy Spirit said, I want you to stop. And I just stopped. And He said, now you've just been going right along, assuming that I've said this because everything's going smooth. Stop. And I stopped. I pulled into a parking lot of a business, and we sat there and we said, Lord, what is it we're not getting? And you know what? It wasn't anything loud. It just was a knowing that we've been listening to our flesh, listening to the wrong voice, and we just shut it off. I took it back. I said, you know, I mean, it happened within a moment. Just knew. Took it back. Told him, nope, why not? Can't explain it except the Lord says no. And we went home. Well, you know, for a while I look at it, I thought, man, what a deal. That guy was really working something out for us. It was going to go so good. But do you know what? Within 3 months, our circumstances had totally changed. That thing would have been a burden like you couldn't have believed. It would have been a terrible weight around our necks if we had done it. And we could see it later. We couldn't see it at the time. It was a few months later before we actually saw that, you know, we knew we'd heard God. But what I'm saying is God speaks to us in the natural course of doing things. If you just keep Him before you and love Him and praise Him and have relationship, He'll just speak to you through the natural course of doing things. So many times when we think we have to hear at a certain time, there's other spirits in the wings. You ever notice that? And they talk too. And we get those voices going at the same time. And then what wins out is the desire of the flesh if we don't watch out. So you've got to listen. But listen as you love. You hear me? Love Him. Just love Him, but just keep yourself open as you love. And I believe all that you need to hear will come out at those times. I really believe that. My sheep hear My voice. I know them. That's the deep personal revelation knowledge that He has of us. He knows us and we follow Him. That's what John 10:27 says. Finally, arise and shine. Here it is again. Let's arise. Let's arise right now. Isaiah 61 says, arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. Man, I'm telling you what's going to happen to us in the next weeks, in the next months, in the next days. Don't be looking way out there. It's not way out there. It may start today before you get home. Things are going to be going on that are going to happen. And you're going to remember these words and you're going to know the glory of the Lord is risen upon us. The things that God has begun to speak are already happening in our lives. He didn't put you here on this earth just to make yourself comfortable through believing in all your needs met. That's just the wages of a workman, to have all of our needs met. But that's not our purpose, not our plans. Not so that we can have somebody else pray for us and get things done, but so that we can speak the word, say what God says, and see this glory connection at work. Amen? I believe we're going to see it. The glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. Father, we thank you. We thank you today, and Lord, we just lift our hands before you today. Lord, we've talked about the sign of the covenant as we lift our hands. We remember that everything we have is because you have a covenant with us. And the Bible says we now have a better covenant established upon better promises than all of the covenants of old. And yet those old covenants, Lord, have been built upon to bring us to this day. And every word of God is true. We believe it. We receive it, Lord God. And today, Lord, we refuse to stand as those who unbelieve in any area. Lord, if the word of God says it's true, right now we set ourselves in agreement with you. You said, I set before you today life and death, light and darkness. Therefore, choose life. We choose it today. We choose life today. We choose the glory of God today. We choose that connection that you have given us. We refuse to allow anything to rob us of the fullness of your brightness, the fullness of your power. We take it today. We receive it today in the name of Yeshua. And now, Yahweh, make his face shine upon you. Yahweh, lift up the light of his countenance upon you, that he give you his glory and grace and give you his shalom in the name of Yeshua. And everyone that received it said, Amen.